Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm sniffling. I got, you know, sniffles.
You got the sniffles? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. It's all good. Oh, good grief. Oh, good grief.
Hello, everyone. I am Kimberly Adams, and welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we always at least attempt to make today make sense.
Oh, that's good beer. That's a good beer. That's good.
Is it now?
My booty. Anyway, I'm Kai Rosales, if you couldn't tell. Thanks for joining us on this YouTube live stream day and on the podcast and on Discord and whatever you do to join us for Economics on Tap. It's Friday. I'm talking about the news over a drink or two, or just one, actually, truly.
Yeah, you know. Just one, you know, because did you see that report out today from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation that was basically like any amount of alcohol, if you're in general, is terrible for you. There's literally no benefits to it whatsoever.
What about like stress reduction? What about just disintegrating into the twilight of a day, Bill and Melinda Gates? Come on. They could probably use some of that. I'm just saying. Yeah, that's a whole different podcast.
That's a whole different thing. But since lots of other people are drinking along with us today, alcoholic and non-alcoholic substances, Kai, what beer do you have today?
I actually am having, so my kids, who know me well, got me for, what's the most recent holiday? Father's Day, a bunch of beers. They went to the local craft beer store and said, listen, hook my dad up, 12 of your finest different libations. And I'm cracking open a denogonizer from Drake's Brewing in San Leandro. It's so good. It's good so far. 9.75% alcohol by volume, and it's a big can. So it's going to be an interesting last 15 minutes of the pod today. What about you?
I was in a little bit of a rush, so my typical, you know, red wine, but I decided to do it in a goblet to be fancy, you know.
Oh, there you go. There you go. It all works. It all works.
People seem to like my goblet. So here's the full view. It's got a little dragon on it. I do love it. All okay, right. Let's do some news. Yours is more fun, so why don't you start?
Well, one of mine is fun, and one of them is deadly serious. And the deadly serious one I'll do just to mark it forever, that the in London today, in the southern UK, it's going to be 40 Celsius, 104 degrees Fahrenheit. The United States Meteorological the United Kingdom's Meteorological Office in Britain is describing it as a national emergency. The heat will have, and this is a quote, widespread impacts on people and infrastructure. It's a national emergency. The weather is a national emergency. The climate is. The climate is.
I'm trying to remember when it was. I think it was last month. France had really high temperatures, and someone had done like a spoof video sort of as a mock-up of what, you know, France's weather would be like in 2050 with climate change.
Yes. And we talked about that. Yeah.
Yes, we did. Okay. I'm just making sure I haven't, you know, gone into an alternate universe.
Yeah, oh, no.
But yeah, it's wild. Like, we are here, and I think this is the consequence of us always talking about climate change is happening so far in the future. But no, it is here, and we are dealing with the consequences today. And some people will die as a result of this.
And we should point out, just to be topical about this, that the senior senator from West Virginia has said to the president of the United States, no, 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 we're not doing your climate plan. That seems germane.
And it seems that they're still going to try to pass something, though, just stripped with climate stuff stripped out of it, because they are running, the Democrats are running out of time to pass just about anything before the midterm all-encompassing attention shuts all of that down. Okay.
Totally.
You want to do your other one?
All right.
Actually, no.
So
let me do
mine
other one.
Okay.
Because
you got it.
It's also grim, and then we can end on that other one.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Mine is about COVID, because just as a gentle reminder, folks, it's still here. It is still quite bad. Hundreds of people are still dying every day from COVID-19. And this latest variant, the World Health Organization has basically said that we are... The wave is ramping up across the European Union. Mm-hmm. People are worried about new lockdowns in Shanghai. And here in the U.S., the Biden administration is considering rolling out an additional booster shot to all mm-hmm. adults. It's been restricted to people with certain pre-existing conditions and older folks. Look, just
easy now.
Please
easy
continue
on the older
to be...
folks thing. Easy on the older folks thing. I'm just saying. Some of us are, you know, in that zone, but not older. I just have to say that.
Well, it's a relative thing. It's older than. That's all.
It's just older than. It's totally true and fair. Sorry, it was a little ice pick in my ego, but that's fine.
I'm sorry.
It's all good.
If it makes you feel any better, I just spent 3 weeks with my 12-year-old niece who basically told me over and over again how old I was.
Well, welcome to my 15-year-old daughter. So, you know.
Yes. But in yet another scary COVID thing, apparently COVID has completely blown up our attempts to stem antibiotic resistance. So you may have heard in the past how the CDC put something out about this, I think, today. Leading up to COVID, a big concern at hospitals was that they kept getting these infections that the antibiotics we have would not treat, because they kept developing these viruses, kept developing resistance to, you know, the antibiotics we have. And so there had been ongoing efforts across the world to try to reduce the amount of antibiotics that were prescribed, just to try to stem that. I mean, if you had maybe a sinus infection, at one point they would have just thrown antibiotics at it. But now they're like, take these other things that you can get to maybe try to clear it out without antibiotics, because they were very concerned about antibiotic resistance. And now it says that during the first year of the pandemic, the problem of drug resistance only intensified. Vox is one of the several stories that covered it, basically because so many people were in the hospital with COVID and they were just throwing antibiotics at people, not because the antibiotics would have fixed COVID, but because there were so many other things going on that they were treating at the same time. And so, yes, I'm sorry. I said earlier, and thank you, Marilyn Baker, that antibiotics were, you know, trying to treat viruses. It's infections and bacteria, not viruses. Too many illnesses floating around in my head. But anyway, we're screwed in that department. And now everyone is trying to figure out what to do to sort of at least get us back on the right track when it comes to antibiotic resistance.
I was on a plane yesterday, probably 20% mask penetration. And I was in Nashville, zero masks, not a mask. It's kind of wild. We're done, but the virus is not done with us.
Okay. Okay. Now,
can I do just one quick? Okay. So there was an absolutely charming interview on Morning Edition this morning. Inskeep was talking to the director of the James Webb Telescope Program. His name is Gregory Robinson. Just an absolutely lovely seven-ish, whatever it was, minutes chat with this guy. About the project, but also about him and what it means to him and where he came from. And I cannot recommend it highly enough. And you don't hear me saying that about things that appear on that other network a lot. It was great. It was really nice.
I'm going to go back and listen to it.
That's what I got. Yeah, you should. Oh, I think you'll like it. I think he's a thoughtful guy. Very interesting. Truly.
Cool.
Truly.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
That was nice.
True.
Okay. So now it is time for Half Full, Half Empty, hosted by the one, the only, Drew Jostad. Hey, Drew.
Hi, Kimberly. Are you half full or half empty on paying a subscription fee for heated seats in your car?
Oh, my God. So this is BMW, which has already rolled out subscription fees for things like adaptive cruise control and something else. But also now this week we learned they have rolled out subscription fees, $18 a month or $415 unlimited, I think, for heated seats in your car, front seats only. And here's the thing. The equipment's already there, right? All the stuff to heat the seats in your car is already there, but you need to get past the software to turn it on. And I know micro subscriptions are everything, but oh my God, half empty. Come on, man.
I mean, all the way empty. This gets into the whole like right to repair movement stuff. And
it's rent seeking too. Yeah, it's
that too. And I don't know if you follow sort of the tech fight with John Deere. Have you followed this at all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But go ahead.
Yeah. So John Deere, which makes all of these tractors, and I'm sure other tractor manufacturers as well, and industrial farm equipment, you know, the classic image of the green tractor and everything like that. These machines are so advanced now that these companies that make them are insisting that they can be the only ones to repair them. And since they rely on so much technology, they can basically shut them on and off if they want to, if you don't pay for upgrades or the latest software or whatever. And so you can buy your $500,000 combine if you so desire, but you may not be able to keep using it unless you continue to play along, shall we say. So half empty.
Empty. Yep.
Okay, Alaska Airlines and Microsoft have partnered with a startup which is trying to convert carbon dioxide into sustainable jet fuel. Are you half full or half empty?
I'm going to go half full. Anything to, at this point.
Yeah, I know nothing of this story, but I'm all the way full. Sure, yeah, whatever we can do. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know the story either, but yes, I'm on board. Let's give it a go. We got to do something.
Yep.
Half full or half empty on college rankings.
Oh, go ahead.
This was Stephanie Hughes' story, did this story this week, right?
Yeah.
And the premise is this idea that we have these college rankings in magazines and in books like U.S. News and World Report that basically matter so much to students in choosing where they're going to go to college, but don't necessarily tell the students whether or not it's going to be a good fit for them. And so colleges end up trying to like game this ranking system to go up and go down. And it's weird. I'm going to go half empty only because it kind of exacerbates this weird association we have with how smart someone is and what school they went to, which, you know, as someone who went to a state school myself, I don't think is great.
Yeah, the proximate cause of this thing is Columbia having opted out of the latest U.S. News and World Report rankings and thus dropping out of the top 10. And, oh, my God, now nobody's going to want to go to Columbia. So what Kimberly said, totally. Absolutely.
Okay, the major credit bureaus are changing how they report unpaid medical bills for your credit scores. Are you half full or half empty?
Ms. Adams?
I mean, now that I've spent, months looking into credit scores at this point, I am half full from the reporting that we did over on the tech show. And I know that there was another story, I believe, that Sam Fields did about this. Medical debt on credit reports, is not indicative of how likely you are to repay a debt, and often would show up even once people had paid it off. And it disproportionately affected low-income people and people of color, and was yet another reason to deny or make more expensive access to financial products for a lot of different people. So half full.
Yeah, I'm with Kimberly. I think actually if there's an industry or a sector of this economy that's ripe for disruption, and Lord knows many of them are, I think the whole credit score thing is somehow ready to be blown up. I don't know how, because if I did know how, I would do it. But it's just, it's so not right, if that makes any sense. Well, of course it makes sense, guy.
It's really interesting because you have this system that the major credit bureaus gather all of this information about you, often without us knowing or necessarily opting in to giving this information, although you probably signed or checked some box in a terms of service that allowed your bank or whomever to send it over. But I doubt most people know. And they package it. There are all these different algorithms from the two major credit scoring companies, FICO and VantageScore, along with banks and individual lenders often have their own scoring models, and they use it to kind of judge you and how much of a risk you are. Yeah. And a lot of these measures do indicate how risky it is to give you a loan, but there are so many problems with it. But one thing that we kept asking people as we were reporting for our credit score series on the Tech Show was, what's a better way to do it? Like, what's the alternative model? Design a system from scratch, what would it look like? And everyone was like, well, it would kind of look like this. Because the old way to do it was that you walked into a lender or to your Woolworths and someone got to stare at you and ask you private personal questions about your life and determine if they wanted to give you credit or not. And women often couldn't get credit without their husband's approval or their father's approval. Obviously, people of color were actively discriminated against or charged higher interest. So in using this data-driven model for all of its problems, it's better than that. But we really didn't hear a ton more sort of revolutionary ways to do it other than adding different kinds of data into the algorithm and checking it for bias. So anyway.
Yeah. It's good. You guys are going to package that up somehow, right? And put it on in a feed or put it on some discrete.
Ideally, we gotta take a little breather from it. Everybody kind of killed themselves getting that series out the door.
You did a lot of work, and there's lots of really good information in there. Anyway.
Yeah. All right.
Drew, what else?
Half full or half empty on Eat the Rich popsicles.
Oh my God! I just saw this today. I did not see this today. So apparently in, I think it's New York, you can spend whatever New York prices are for a popsicle and buy a popsicle in the shape of like Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos or Warren Buffett or other random rich people and eat them because you eat popsicles. And that's a statement against capitalism and rich people, I guess. The challenge, of course, is that you have to pay New York City prices for a popsicle to do that, and I don't think that makes sense. So I'm half empty because come on.
I'm gonna go half empty. Okay, there's no non-vulgar way to say this. I don't want to put these people in my mouth.
Oh, man. That's going to get us the E on Apple Podcasts, Kimberly.
Sorry. Someone else was thinking it.
Nobody else was thinking that. If you were thinking that, just put it in the comments. Oh, yeah, well, there's one. Annie Wong says, thank you, Kimberly.
Okay. See? It wasn't just me.
Sarah Schlosser was thinking it. Renee L. was thinking it. Yann Amir was thinking it. Linda Booth, BDX, was thinking it. All right, so everybody was thinking it. Okay, everybody was thinking it. Ann Blocker was thinking it. Now Kimberly is narrating my inner monologue, a perfect podcast. Sarah Schlosser, I was thinking that. Anyway, oh my God. All right, well, I clearly know nothing about our audience. Anywho.
Sorry, now I'm blushing.
Oh, no, that's fine. Okay. It's all good. All right. So, look, we are done. We are blissfully and thankfully done for today. Back on Monday.
God bless.
Next week, Tuesday, we're going to do gas prices and we're going to do what the what. And we're going to talk about the production chain. We're going to talk about why they are what they are, what has happened, what might happen. Because if you've been paying attention to Marketplace and or any other business and economic news source, you know that gas prices are what has been driving inflation. So we're going to talk about that for a little while on Tuesday.
If this is a topic that has been on your mind or you see it driving down the road every day or however many days you're working outside of the house, let us know. You can send us your thoughts and questions about gas prices. Email us at makemesmart@marketplace.org. You can also leave us a voicemail or voice message. Who even says voicemail?
Don't. Bridget Bodner says that. That's why she writes it there and we say it. That's how it happens.
Okay, tiny tangent. I was at an event last night for like these NHL owners, and the press woman
sorry,
who was
National
very kind.
Hockey League
who was,
owners?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll tell you about it later. Okay. And the press woman there who was very kind pointed out to me that on our cell phones, you have the little hang up and pick up buttons that are like the yellow with the phone receiver. And there's a whole generation of people that have never seen a phone that looks like that.
Oh, yeah, that's a really good point. They're probably two generations by now, honestly. Right?
Yeah. All of their phones have been square.
Wow.
Yeah. And so those
funny.
Like, what
that's
do those
funny.
Icons even mean to them? Okay. Anyhow, if you have a phone, you know, curve-shaped one or this, like, square thing that we all have now, the phone number is 508-827-6278, 508-UB-SMART.
My goodness. Get out of here by the hair on our chinny chin chin.
Just barely.
Just barely. The Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Today's episode was engineered, as Fridays always are, by Drew Jostad, the senior producer, and, you know, lord of all things that comes out of Kimberly in my mouth, is Bridget Bonney.
The team behind our Friday game is Stephen Bion, Mel Rosenberg, and Emily McCune, with the theme music written by the one, the only Drew Jostad, and the director of On Demand is Donna Tam.
Donna.
Oh, boy. So Jeff in the YouTube chat says that if you kids know what they look like from cartoons, like the old Looney Tunes and things like that.
Oh,
so
kill me. Jesus.
I still have a landline, believe it or not, like a copper wired landline.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.